Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. We're going to do it. We're going to go there. We're going to talk about something we've never talked about before, except for two other times. Vulnerability.
I feel like this will be our last round for now, at least.
Last round for now. I thought you said round four. It's round three, but it's the last round for now. The way you said round four now, it sounded like you were saying round four, but you were saying round for now. Got it.
I think it's the final round. I think it's the final round, but you're like, no, this is going to keep coming up, which I feel like it will. I feel like this is another topic where everyone's going to be either, like, annoyed about the topic or at us.
Or it's going to evolve as time goes
on. That is true. This is the Gender Knot. I am Naz.
I'm Dan. Hello. Glad you're here. Let's do an episode. I think we got a little bit of housekeeping, and then we're going to talk about some stuff. What are we housekeeping?
I don't think we've got a lot. So leave us reviews if you listen on Apple, and write to us, thegendernot@gmail.com. Speaking of writing to us, we have been getting a lot of mail about vulnerability. So we chatted to Matt Stadlin about this a couple of weeks ago, mostly about sort of men and vulnerability in relationships. So that was kind of the focus. Then you and I had a chat because we got lots of mail. We got a bit heated last time. So, yeah, we're going to just read some of the mail you guys have sent us because, and this doesn't often happen on the show, I'm going to admit it. I'm going to be vulnerable and admit it. My thinking has slightly evolved on this.
Whoa. So, yeah.
But only a bit, right?
Just a fraction of a hair.
Just a little bit. Enough that I want to, like, brag about it. So, yeah. But yeah, some of you have said some stuff, and also the conversations you and I have had. I'm like, there are aspects of my thinking that have changed, but only like bits. So, yeah.
Mark your calendars, everybody, because this is a monumental day.
Dude, I feel like I'm quite open to having my opinions challenged generally. Come on, I'm not like that.
Well,
rigid.
Yeah, having them challenged is one thing. And then going like, but then someone being more right than you, that's rare.
No, that's really mean.
No, I'm saying you're right all the time. I'm saying you're smarter than people.
Oh.
I wasn't saying that you're not, that you're... I wasn't saying that you're like, everybody's stupid but me, I'm the best. I was saying that you're the best and that everyone is stupid compared to you. Anyway, let's dive into some mail. What do you say? I wish we had a mailbag song. I'll get around to it. John from the U.S., my hometown, John from the United States, he said on today's show, I guess this was the show he heard, loved it.
Round two.
Exclamation mark. I particularly appreciated your thought on how we should be willing to disclose things and that it shouldn't need to be called vulnerable so much as honest, open, transparent, genuine, and authentic. The word should always sticks with me. I had a therapist years ago who pointed out that whenever we use the word should, it implies a value statement, often projecting one's personal values onto another person. I agree. I wish it was an exception on when people disclose things as honestly as you do, and we should all do that. Perhaps Dan's point in some way was that it still is exceptional, and even if you and I value that honest disclosure, many people don't, or at least don't express themselves that way yet. The word vulnerability communicates a desired norm of openness. Hell yeah. Thanks, John.
Awesome. We also heard from Kristen from Canada. She says, just listen to your podcast on vulnerability. And as always, it was enlightening, funny, and important. I want to comment on the section where you spoke about Brené Brown's work on vulnerability. Disclaimer, I'm a social/human development nerd and a fan of her research. I'm not sure that that makes me weird or, as Dan stated, a numbskull, but I will take it, as I think her work is important and says a lot about our society's relationship with shame, honesty, truth, emotions, rejection, and acceptance. I think you both hit the nail on the head and supported her work and ideas when you stated that we have entered a culture and industry with fake vulnerability, and that when we have to state that we're being vulnerable or are doing it to impress, manipulate, or control people, relationships, reactions, and emotions, it is in fact not true vulnerability. Brené speaks to this in much of her work, and I think we would even agree that her stating, quote, I have trouble with vulnerability, is not true vulnerability, but rather it is to say that, quote, I am with you, and that it is hard. Vulnerability and courage / bravery are interconnected, and it's a risk for those who have not done the inner work or healing that needs to be done. I think you say, Kristen, I think, is referring to me bragging in the last episode. So she goes, I think when you say, I'm not being vulnerable, I'm just speaking the truth and being fucking awesome, it's because you have done the work to look at your own shit and yourself as a woman and what that means. Many people have not done that work and have trauma and experiences that affect their relationship with others and with vulnerability. True vulnerability is layered and more complex than people think, and it's something we should all work towards. However, that takes trust, respect, and at times pain, rejection, and hurt. I challenge you to look at more of her work and research. Like most things, it's not perfect, but there are some gold nuggets to be had.
She also said that she enjoys our work. Anyway,
yay,
Kate.
Thanks.
Anyway, back to Kate from England, who we heard from last episode as well. She said, just listen to the latest episode. I took no offense by Dan disagreeing with me. And then brackets, although my three favorite words are, you are right, I also love debate. From your discussion, I think you both agree that being vulnerable is a good thing, but the issue is with the word used. Again, I agree with Naz. Being honest shouldn't be seen as putting yourself in a weakened state. Yeah. Maybe it is more the emotional baggage that comes with the vulnerable term that is the issue. For me, it has negative connotations, so I don't like the term. To me, it is a more powerful position to make yourself open and vulnerable as a term that, to me, implies the opposite. I looked up the Collins Dictionary entry, which I've never heard of the Collins Dictionary. I just want to go on the record.
I have. Me, Daniel, I use it all the time. I use it all the time. I actually have a
Webster,
copy.
Merriam Webster, baby. I looked up the Collins Dictionary entry, which defines vulnerable as someone who is vulnerable is weak and without protection, with the result that they are easily hurt physically or emotionally. I don't think you are weak if you are honest. Actually, the opposite is I find it hard to be honest with people about my needs. Also, it doesn't mean that you can't cope with any rejection as a result of your honesty. I know this is just one definition and others may not be as negative. I wondered if it is more of a woman's issue to not like the term vulnerable. As a woman, you are often portrayed as the vulnerable gender. If you walk home alone at night, your clothes are too revealing, you are seen as having made yourself vulnerable and to blame for the violence perpetrated against you. Vulnerable, to me, is a term often weaponized against women to victim blame instead of addressing the actions of others, or as a sign of the imbalance of power. Being seen as vulnerable just reminds me of the unequal power between women and men, which places women in a weakened state. I don't like being seen as weak, and I don't like being reminded that we are in a patriarchy, so maybe that's why the vulnerable term irks me so much.
Yeah, so this is interesting because our next letter talks about this. I really quickly have a question, though, because sometimes topics come up on this podcast where, you know, sometimes it's like a male-female issue because that's what the show is about. Sometimes topics come up, and I wonder if this is like a UK-US thing, because it's interesting that she looked up the term vulnerable. I've done this in a discussion too, and I really dislike that word too because I don't know if this is a cultural thing, because I think we use that term very differently here. And I know that there are Brits who are into like all this stuff, but yeah, I wonder about that.
Possible.
I just think it just sounds like a real sort of American like forced intimacy sort of thing. Sorry, is that really mean?
No.
Like I find it's always.
Listen, I take no offense to digs in America.
But you know what I mean? It's like I find whenever I go to some dinner or something where someone's like, let's all go around and tell each other our traumas so we can bond. And I'm like, it's always like an American.
I've never been to a dinner party like that. And I've been to
a
lot.
This happens all the time.
I've just maybe,
dude.
It's,
you
maybe
guys,
it's expats.
You guys have a stereotype for like, you know. I feel like we have so many jokes here about like I went into a bar and some American just started telling me all about their divorce. So I don't know if this is like
well,
a
he's gotta
American
tell
splurge
somebody.
Culture.
Well, you want to bottle that up? That's how you get mass shootings.
I don't know. I just wonder if this is like a sort of like an American splurge culture thing. So that's why me and Kate are really resistant. We're just like, just so really resistant to this. But she had some really interesting stuff about the whole gendered stuff, which also came up in a letter we got from Jerry, who is from the US, even though I've been
my
slagging
hometown.
You guys off. So Jerry from the US says this. She says that, hang on, I don't want to read the... Okay, so she says, I started listening to the podcast a few months ago and listen to the newest episode every week and continue to play catch up on the previous season's episodes. I find the current format of the show to be a fucking relief. It's a relief to be away from society and the media and many social circles as messaging around gender roles and all that is tied up in the great buzzy word vulnerability. I don't fully agree with either of you on the word or importance of vulnerability, but I find it useful to listen to this. Specifically on the topic of vulnerability, I agree with Dan on this.
No, no, no to
Brené Brown's disciples. Just no. Boundary drawn. Her messaging has been used as a form of leadership training for my past and current workplaces. Currently, I work at a social justice arts organization as the creative director. The mentors, board, and people tugging at me to lead with vulnerability rarely display vulnerability themselves. And, most frustratingly of all, they don't ask men in the same positions as me in the social justice and arts fields in my urban area to do the same. Yes, there are specific examples, but for the sake of brevity and fewer eyeballs getting sprained from rolling in disgust, let me just say, I don't care if Brené Brown's research shows that daring to lead with vulnerability is the best current way to lead, because her research is being used to continue to hamstring women in roles of leadership, often by other women, and it reinforces a way of looking weaker, overly emotional or focused on my own ego rather than leading an organization by our mission and goals. No, I will not do emotional labor for my coworkers, stakeholders, or colleagues in the field. No, I will not be personally vulnerable at work because that crosses my boundaries and quickly becomes problematic as I work with survivors of trauma. Rather than vulnerability, I choose to lead with empathy. Perhaps an idea for another episode. So, okay, this is interesting because like, it's interesting having this gendered thing of vulnerability coming up because I am wondering, and I know that there's loads of women who are into this vulnerability culture, so I'm gonna make a broad statement. But given these letters, I have been thinking, I wonder if this is a concept that's kind of more useful towards men, if we think of the fact that like men are still raised to kind of like not be emotionally expressive. Because like it is true though, still as a woman, if you're emotionally expressive and stuff, you still get shamed even within vulnerability circles. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of, I don't know. I have been wondering about that.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, here's the thing. Like again, and I don't really have an issue with the word, and maybe it's, you know, now that I'm reading some of this stuff, like maybe it's because I don't have a reason to, do you know what I mean? Like from what's been brought up today, it's like, oh, Dan, the reason you don't have a problem with the word is because you've never actually been put into a weakened position in life. And so you've never had to think about it. So great point. I will have a think on that. But in the moment, I do think that, and I'm just going to keep using the word until I've thought more of it and stop using it. But I think that being vulnerable for me has been like a secret superpower that I've been using for years to make people like me. Because
dude, that sounds so manipulative now that you put it that way.
Well, sort of. It's not on purpose. It just works out that way. Like the reason I do it is because I like my life better when I'm honest and open with people. But what happens as a result of it is people often go, wow, now there's a guy who can talk about his feelings, or there's a guy who isn't afraid to say what's on his, you know what I mean? Like people [S2]
Right.
[S1] Admire it because it's very sadly rare in a man to do those things.
Right.
And so I do think, I definitely think that more men need to do it. I mean, not yet, because I still need some more ramp up time to get famous off of being such a cool guy. But after I make it, then other guys can do more of it.
But I am wondering that because I think what Kate and Jerry are saying is kind of right. I do think women still are shamed, and it's not. I mean, yeah. I mean, this is also a weird topic for me because I used to be someone who was not very open with people emotionally. And becoming emotionally expressive wasn't the result of me being badgered by some sort of vulnerability culture. It was the result of me having a good therapist and people I trusted who I slowly opened up to about certain things, you know? And I feel like it's a bit like trying to bypass doing the hard work. Like, I don't think you can be emotionally honest until you know what is going on with yourself.
Sure.
So this is part of my problem with vulnerability culture. I just feel like it's a way to badger people into opening up when they're not ready, and in a way that isn't actually helpful and doesn't get to the root of the problem that they might be having.
I will say, and I'm not disagreeing with you, because I do think that it's bullshit to ask anyone to say anything that they're not comfortable saying. Like, I think that's absolute, like, especially like the way we're talking about it in like a work environment, that shouldn't be legal. But I will say that for me personally, I oftentimes have a hard time recognizing like the truth about myself sometimes in certain situations until I've said it out loud to a certain, like a confidant or something like that. That's not the same thing as saying it out loud to like my, a room of my fellow executives or board members. But I do think that, you know, you said like, I need to get to the bottom of myself first. And I do think that that comes with saying things out loud, at least for me. My shrink refers to it as social psychology, where I say something out loud and try to figure out if I still think it's true.
Dude, that's what shrinks are for. They're for you to say stuff out loud, and then you leave the room and you're like, oh.
Yeah, you leave the room nonsense. And you hear the door shut and you go, God, that was, like, whoo, what a sesh this week, huh?
And then you're like, I'm really glad I didn't tell anyone else that, because now I realize how it sounds.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I think sometimes we have to say those things out loud to realize they're nonsense. But saying them again, like in like a work environment, that's not the place to be discovering those things.
But my point is that I just am wondering that I kind of am wondering. Whether this is something that's more helpful for men, the whole vulnerability culture and stuff. Because I still think that, like, as a woman, like, you have to be careful to not look quote-unquote crazy whenever you're, like, emotionally expressive or really honest. Either it's, like, you're looking crazy or it's, like, you know, you're being a demanding bitch. I think those are the things that come up.
Well, that's the only two kind of women I ever met, Naz. I don't know what to tell you.
So I feel like this whole vulnerability culture, like, I don't know if women, I don't know. I just don't know if it's possible to be that honest about it, given the sort of expectations around women and how it gets used against us.
No, I guess men will just have to lead the way on this one, too.
Hey.
JK, dude, come on. Either way, it doesn't matter. It's all fake.
Okay, so, you know, I said I have been having a bit of a think, and I've slightly evolved in my thoughts on this. Okay, so the previous two episodes, I was very much about how often when we're talking about vulnerability, what we're really talking about is courage. And, you know, and I've been going on about how, like, oh, we should be just using the word emotional honesty instead of vulnerability. I am thinking that it's not even that we should use the word courage instead of vulnerability. We should be just emotionally honest with people all the time. So I just think that this should be a default, which is kind of why I have a problem with vulnerability culture in a sense.
Yeah. And so I guess, I mean, I'm starting to get what your side of this is, which is that there we don't need to celebrate it. It should just be the norm, which I agree with.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I wouldn't seem like such a great guy if it was the norm. And I love that I seem like a great guy. Like, I love being heralded, you know?
Oh, because you're being so vulnerable.
Yeah, oh, my God. Can you guys believe Daniel? He's so open sometimes. It's like, wow, most guys aren't like that. What a cool guy.
Yeah.
You know, he really accepts feedback well.
This is what I mean. This is what I mean by I wonder if this is more useful for men than it is for women.
I mean, it is
I feel like saying to a woman, oh, she was being so vulnerable. Yeah, man, I feel like Kate and Jerry are right.
Yeah, if you're a guy and you're listening to this, just one time a day, tell somebody an uncomfortable truth and your life will change for the better times a million. But I don't know. At the same time, yeah, so like I agree that it shouldn't be celebrated. I'll say that. I agree, and I hadn't really thought about it that it can. If I was a woman and I had been put in far more vulnerable positions, like physically and emotionally, without consent, you know what I mean? Like been put in those positions, I would not like the word vulnerable to mean something like this. So I agree there. But at the same time, what was I going to say? I feel like so many people use this as an excuse to like not actually address things. Do you know what I mean? Like to not actually figure out why they think things and feel certain, like instead of like looking at the problem and going like, why do I think this? They go, I'm just expressing my truth right now. And it's like, okay, but could you just take like 10 minutes and figure out why that's how you feel about something instead of just being like loudly vulnerable? Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, kind of. So it's kind of like, I don't know. I feel like if you need to go on about something, you're not that thing. Like, you know, when people are like, I'm really into authenticity, like they're never.
Right.
It's always like super inauthentic people who say stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like, whenever you need to go on about something.
If you have to tell me.
This is another thing.
It's a lie. Like.
Well, this is another thing. This is another thing. I just feel like. I really don't have a problem with Brené Brown, and I actually think a lot of what she says is really interesting, and it's really, you know, I agree with a lot of it. I just feel like I don't like this culture of people being forced to feel like they have to be overly open. I actually have been in positions where that's happened, and things have been used against me later. And yeah, I do feel as a woman that, like, yeah, I just wonder if this is something that's more helpful to men than it is, because I feel like we still get ashamed for being emotionally honest, because you're either needy or you're being demanding, right? You're either crazy or you're a bitch.
But
so
see,
I don't
maybe
know, man.
That's the part where you're in a weakened position, because by being honest, you're opening yourself up to being called crazy or having those things used against you.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Or being a demanding bitch.
Right. And I don't know. It's just, again, like I was saying a second ago, I think a lot of it isn't. I feel like we're going on and on about what is and isn't the word, and what is and isn't what we mean by it, and blah, blah, blah. But really, at the end of the day, it's just, I feel like too many people don't actually identify their own negative characteristics. And they should, like, you know what I mean? And they don't take ownership for their own stuff. And now a really easy way to not take ownership for things is to just say that you're being vulnerable, but you're not. You're just ignoring a problem. You're ignoring your own bullshit and claiming that you're being hella deep about it. And, you know, I would urge everyone to get a shrink and talk about some shit and figure out the truth and then take that to the outside world.
Or like talk to a few trusted people about stuff.
Sure.
But I just feel like whenever you need to like go on about something, you're not that thing. Which is kind of that. Maybe that's my problem with like quote-unquote vulnerability culture, because it's like, actually, I don't think a lot of this is emotionally honest, and it's really performative.
Yeah, that's it.
And it bypasses
That's my problem with Brené Brown.
And it bypasses the work of actually looking at ourselves.
Totally. And that's it. And this will undoubtedly lead to another episode about vulnerability. Thanks for listening to The Gender Knot. My name's Dan.
I'm Naz. Our co-producers are Sam Baker and Jonathan Blackwell. We will be back next week.
Yeah.